Good morning and welcome to this week's service from Radio Baptist Church. My name's Jonathan, I'm one of the ministers there, and it's great that you've been able to connect again this morning. It's wonderful that we can come and join together. I don't know how you've come this morning. Perhaps you've come down in your pyjamas, you've got a onesie on, perhaps you're all suited and booted. You may have some toast in hand, you may have a cup of tea close to you. It doesn't matter, because Jesus just invites us to come and to meet with him. He accepts us as we are, and his joy and delight is to meet with us where we're at and actually transform us. You know, it's only a week ago that we celebrated Easter, that Resurrection Sunday. And the wonderful thing is that today is also Resurrection Sunday. Every day is a Resurrection Sunday, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and in us. And so we come this morning, however we come, but we come this morning knowing that we are meeting the risen God, that we come together to worship and to praise him, however we are, and we look to be transformed by his presence and his power as he speaks into our lives, as we spend time before him, waiting on him, listening on him. So this morning, let's just pray before we move on in our service. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just center ourselves on our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, and let's get ourselves ready to meet with him this morning. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us by the power and through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that you love us just as we are. But Lord, thank you as well that you love us so much that you want to change us and transform us into the people that you have created us to be. Thank you, Lord, that you came to give us life in all of its fullness. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that you would come, that you would release us, that you would speak to us, and that you would meet us and minister to us where we are. And Lord, as we do that, as we draw close to you this morning, may your power transform us so that when we leave our time together, Lord, we would be full of you, full of your spirit, and ready to just be your hands and feet wherever you call us to be in this day and in these coming days. So Lord, be with us, we pray now, as we bring our praise and our worship to you. Amen.
Come to me, was his cry. But they shouted, crucify. Arms stretched wide upon that cross, suffering our pain, our loss. Every sickness, every care, was laid upon our Saviour there. Our eternal death to die, it is finished, was his cry. On the third day, raised to life, Jesus Christ now reigns on high. Come to me, his greatest cry.
It's really exciting. We're starting a new series this week, which is called Faith for Life's Journey. And it's based on the life of Abraham. We find and we read about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, going through to chapter 23. Faith isn't just a momentary or single act of trust, and neither is it something that you just get at the beginning of your Christian journey, your Christian life. Rather, faith is a lifelong process. It's built and developed through every season and through every turn of life, from childhood to old age, from school to work to retirement, in joy and in sorrow, but also in times of calm and when everything also feels out of control. And perhaps that's what you might be feeling at the moment with this current crisis that's going on around us. You know, the simple truth is that we build faith throughout the whole of our lives. And the journey of faith is not a straightforward one. You know, we're going to see that in the life of Abraham. He struggled. He struggled despite being this giant of faith that the Bible refers to him as. He struggled with faith. He struggled to wait on God's promises. He struggled to find God in the darkest of places. And he even wrestles with God. And yet through it all, we will see that Abraham ended up with developing such a faith and trust in God, in his power and in his promises, that he's willing to sacrifice everything for him. I guess that for many of us today, as I say, as we wrestle with the uncertainties that face us, the challenges and perhaps some of the sorrows that this current pandemic has brought with it and will no doubt continue to bring with it, even when it's finished. I think there are some things that we can learn from Abraham's life that if we put into practice can help sustain, but also to build our faith in God for life's journey as well. And so today we're going to start at the start, as it were, with Abraham's first encounter with God as we look at faith to begin the journey. Over to you, Dick.
We're reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev.
So, as we read, Abraham's about 75 years old when we meet him, which in those days actually would be considered, I guess, middle age, because Abraham's father lived to just over 200. So he's middle aged. I feel good about that. He's middle aged at 75. You know, he's a prosperous businessman. He has possessions. He has a large family group, as it were. He has people around him. And it's no doubt that he's well known to many people as well. He's also married to his wife, Sarah, and they don't have any children. You know, as far as we know, Abraham wasn't looking for God at all, but God was looking for him. And Abraham's life changed when God found him and spoke to him. We read these verses, verses 1 to 3 again. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you as well.'" And so Abraham went as the Lord told him. And we know the story. We know that not only was Abraham called, but he was given promises as well, which were fulfilled. But they were fulfilled over the next 2,000 years, because as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, in that first chapter, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, his family history, it starts with Abraham. And through generation after generation, through King David, through to Jesus Christ, we know that all nations have been blessed by him, not just the Jewish people, but for everyone. Jesus came to die for each and every person. And so God fulfilled his promises, but over such a long period of time. You know, Abraham went. Abraham went. He called, God called him, and Abraham went. I mean, that was an amazing step of faith. It doesn't say much. There's three simple words. So Abraham went. Imagine the faith needed to give up everything and to go. You know, when we do something for the first time, it can be more than a little scary, can't it? I mean, do you remember your first day at school? I mean, perhaps for some of us, that's closer in our memories than perhaps others. But when you went to that first day at school, my sense is that you would probably have gone with someone, probably a mum and dad, perhaps a grandparent, who knows? But you probably went with something and someone to help you find your classroom, to meet your teacher and to settle in well. Perhaps when you learned to ride a bike, someone probably walked beside you and helped you, holding you up at the beginning until you developed confident enough to allow them to let you go and so that you could cycle on your own. I mean, I remember, and with Susan as well, we must have walked miles and miles and miles alongside our three children as they learned to cycle. But eventually they got it and they went off on their own. Perhaps when you went swimming for the first time, I imagine you didn't just go and jump in the pool, but rather someone was there to hold on to you, to support you, to encourage you, to teach you, as it were, how to swim, so that eventually, as you built up the skills, as you built up your strength, as you built up your confidence, you could swim on your own. You see, it really helps, doesn't it, to have someone we trust to be with us when we're about to do something new, something that we've never done before. And that's the basis of faith to begin the journey. As we look to Abraham, the first thing that I want to take out of this passage is that Abraham's faith to begin the journey started with a faith that trusts. A faith that trusts. You know, many people have said to me, oh, I wish I had your faith for this, or I wish that I had your faith to do that. And the simple truth is, it's not about the amount of faith you have to do anything. It's who or what you put your faith in. You see, for many people, the concept of faith doesn't make sense. It's irrational. It's not controllable. It doesn't seem to make any logical sense at all. And so they struggle, they doubt it, and they resort to putting their faith in things that can be touched or held or owned. Or they put it in structures and positions like jobs and relationships. You know, the Christian faith isn't about fantasy. Christian faith isn't about wishful thinking, neither is it some leap in the dark. But rather it's built on something real. It's built on something trustworthy, even when we can't see the next step ahead of us. The writer in Hebrews says faith is a confidence in what we hope for and an assurance of what we do not see. Hebrews 11 verse 1. You know, faith is completely trusting in an unseen God. Faith knows he loves us completely. Faith knows that the death and resurrection of Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Faith believes the word of God is all we need to know to live a holy and pleasing life. Faith is built on trust. And it doesn't matter whether we're young or old. There are going to be lots of firsts that we're going to encounter, some of which, no doubt, have even come to light over these last few weeks. I mean, who would have thought we would be where we are and doing some of the things that we're doing now, like even talking to you on a video service? I mean, you know, that's a new skill that we're learning and developing as we go along. And there are lots of firsts, lots of new things that we're all having to do. The reality is that each season is different. And there's always going to be that challenge for us to move away from all of those familiar things, step out of our usual routines, and to trust God in something new. And the reality is that we are only going to trust people when we get to know them, because that gives us the assurance that they look out for us, that they're going to protect us, that they're going to care for us. And the same is true for God. You know, there may be lots of things in life that we don't understand, lots of things in our life's journey that we would never have thought of, never have wished for. We may not know why certain things happen the way that they do, nor the choices we should make in some certain situations. But trusting in the Lord comes down to being honest with him and actually acknowledging that we don't have all the answers, that we can't do it on our own. Abraham trusted God. You know, that first encounter must have been so profound, so impactful on his life, because when God called him, we know that Abraham said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go." And perhaps for some of us as well, God will speak into our lives and turn us around in a moment. And we will have no doubt that God calls us into something else. But I guess for many of us, and including myself, and my own faith journey, it was over a long period of time. It was getting to know and to trust God over a period of time. So let me ask you, who or what are you trusting in for today? Who or what are you trusting in for tomorrow and the coming week and the coming months and actually for the rest of your life? You know, perhaps this situation that we find ourselves in the moment, this slower pace of life perhaps for some of us, will give us that opportunity just to explore who God is, how he loves us. Perhaps it will give us that opportunity to build that faith and that trust in him for a first time, or again to build up our faith and trust even though we once knew it. But a faith is built on trusting someone and something, and we place our faith and trust in God. The second thing that I wanted to pull out of this passage is very simple. Not only is Abraham's faith to begin the journey based in trust, but Abraham's faith is a faith that goes as well. You know, Abraham was being asked to give up all that was familiar in order to follow God's call. And if God asked us to do the same thing, what would your answer be? What would your answer be? It says again in Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And that illustrates really a central truth about this life of faith, this journey of faith for life. We rarely see the big picture in advance, or how God will use us as we step out to serve in his kingdom and for his purposes. Martin Luther King, you know, that wonderful, wonderful pastor and preacher back in the 60s said this. Martin Luther King Jr. Said this: faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. You know, that was my experience, and that has been my experience over life. More often than not, God has given me a general picture of what he wanted me to do. But as far as the details were concerned, well, they weren't clear. I needed to take that first step of faith, and then doors would suddenly open up, opportunities open up, and I would get a sense of where God was leading me. You know, I've no doubt that for many of us, these last few weeks have taken us out of our comfort zones. Whether that's been the challenge of homeschooling, working from home, grappling with technology and much more besides. But in all of these challenges, I believe that there have been new opportunities as well to share God's love. And that can be daunting too, can't it? It's something of a paradox that even though we may not be able to go anywhere as such, certainly not geographically, we're called to go because faith is only demonstrated in action. And we're called to go by getting alongside our neighbours. We're called to go by offering help to strangers, by showing care and compassion to others around us. Perhaps even some of us have been called to walk with people as they've journeyed through illness and perhaps even loss as well. You know, both individually, young or old, and certainly as a church, Change has been forced on us, and perhaps there will be more change to come. Yet despite the natural temptation to turn back to the old familiar ways and those comforting ways when restrictions are finally lifted, I believe that as God's church, as individual people, we are being called to carry on carrying on. We're called to develop a faith that goes, to carry on caring and serving and comforting those that we're in contact with now. You know, God is on the move. I have no doubt about it. And as difficult as this situation is in so many different ways, God is on the move and he's opening up doors for his kingdom, for his church to come and serve. You know, it's really interesting that this last week, if you've been tuning into Spring Harvest, in any of those talks that have come through, the topic is about being unleashed, an unleashed church. And I believe that God is preparing us to unleash us into a new season where not only will we have to trust him, but we'll also have to go where he calls us to. So let's not look back, let's not go back to the old rhythms and routines, but let's look forward. Let's look forward and go where God calls us to go. You know, it's interesting that in Abraham's journey, God kept appearing to him to encourage him on his journey. And that's how he deals with us as well, with patient love and constant encouragement as we place one foot in front of the other. We may not see the end. We may not know where we're being led, but we trust in the one who's leading us and we have faith to go. And the last thing that I just want to say very briefly is that Abraham's faith, the faith to begin the journey, is a faith that remembers as well. We read these words in verses 6 through to 8. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and he called on the name of the Lord. You know, altars were almost always used in ancient history to symbolize a meeting with God. They acted as a visual reminder of God's protection and God's promises. And for us today, they're no less valuable insofar as faith is built layer upon layer of our experiences with God. You know, it's true that we don't use earth and we don't use rock to build our altars, but we do have places where we meet regularly with God. And they're sort of like our visual reminders. They're our places, our safe spaces where we can just spend time in God's presence and we can remember his goodness to us. Perhaps it is that you have a study or a bedroom that you go to go and meet with God. Perhaps you have a special chair that you sit in day by day and that's where you meet with God. You might have a journal. You might have a particular walk. I used to walk to the station when I used to work in London, and that journey used to have, you know, points along it where I would meet with God, that I would look for God there, that I would bring prayers to him and I would listen to him as well. Whatever it is, we probably all have that place where we meet with Jesus, where we develop that history of shared experience with him. You see, faith isn't a matter of reading a book. It's not about learning a set of principles, but it comes through a shared experience and it comes through that act of regular worship, of meeting with God. And it's in those things that we can look back on to help build our faith as well. You know, quite often we might go through stuff where it's very difficult to see God's hand upon it. But when we look back after the event, we can see that God has been there every step of the way. He's been carrying us, or he's been journeying with us, certainly, until we get to the other side. You know, when I look back over my faith journey over this last 30 years as a Christian, I'm not the same person today that I was 30 years ago. Thank God for that. You know, God is about transforming people. He's about changing people. And even though I may not have seen it, I may still struggle with stuff, which I do, But God is in the business of changing us and transforming us little by little, step by step. And I can look back over my faith journey at answered prayer. I can look back at God's faithfulness to me and to us as a family. I can look back and see how God has led and guided me into certain things as well. Faith remembers. Faith trusts. Faith goes when it's called. But faith remembers as well, because it helps and encourages us on that journey. So this morning, for some of us, we may be starting at the foothills of our journey with God. If you were with us in this last Easter Sunday, and you said yes, you wanted to know more about Jesus, and you pressed that button last week, I'd encourage you to get into contact with us, please, if you haven't already. reception@rayleighbaptist.org.uk. Just drop us an email. Give us your details. Give us a contact number or a way in which we can contact you. We would love to share something about this Jesus that you want to get more close to, that you want to find out more about. reception@rayleighbaptist.org.uk. Get in contact with us. We would love to start with you and journey with you on your journey of faith. For others of us, perhaps we may want this opportunity to come back to God again. You know, maybe we've just been playing at faith. Maybe we've not really built our faith. We may have been a Christian for some time, but we've dipped in and out. We've relied on other things. We've relied on ourselves. We've chosen to do our own things. Now might be the time to just come back, to go deeper with God, to spend time with him, to build or rebuild our faith and our trust in him. And perhaps for some of us as well, we're facing a really, really challenging time at the moment. You know, maybe our challenges are very real in terms of the workplace, the pressures that we have, whether we have jobs to go back to even. Perhaps for some of us, our challenges relate to study, our fears about going back to work, to school, to start something new like university. Who knows? Maybe we're struggling with finances. Maybe we're even struggling with relationships, being cooped up together each and every day over these last 3 or 4 weeks and in the weeks to come as well. But wherever we find ourselves today, we can be encouraged to begin that journey of faith step by step, that we can move into this new season with a faith that rests on what God has done for us in the past, both our personal experience and more profoundly what he has done through Jesus. We can look to the cross and we can be reminded that this is a faithful and loving God, a God who is trustworthy in all of his promises. And because of his faithfulness and because of his love for us, we can place our faith and our trust in him for whatever he will do for us, not only in the present, but as the future as well. As we look to Abraham's life, as we look to this first encounter, I pray that we would be a people who place our faith and our trust in God, that we would have a faith that is prepared to go, a faith that is prepared to go, and a faith that looks back as well and encourages us when we see God's goodness and his grace and his mercy and his blessings on us day by day. We're going to pray, and Christian, my son, is going to read a prayer for us.
Dear God, thank you that you love and care for each of us. And thank you that you want to be with us and to share our life's journey. And so, Lord, today we turn to you and we say that we want to put our faith in you, not in things or even ourselves, but in you. Will you help us to find time so that we will get to know you, so that we can build our trust in you? Would you give us the strength to go where you call us and to serve others with your love and compassion? Would you give us the willingness to speak boldly of the faith and the hope we have in you? And would you encourage us in that journey as well as we look back to our encounters with you and as we look back to the cross? May we be able to alert your Spirit's guiding as we journey on with you. Amen.
Hi, who's ever made a den or a tent? Maybe you've got a couple of chairs together and you've put a tablecloth over the top. Or perhaps you've even got one of those little pop-up tents. Now, when God called Abraham to leave his home and to go to the land that he would show him, he would have needed a few tents. So how about making your own? So encourage your grown-ups to come and join you in their tent if they can actually fit in. And have a think together about how Abraham and his family would have been feeling right then when they had to pack up all their stuff and leave that home. So many different things were going to change for them then, weren't they? But there was one thing that never ever changed, and that was that God was with them. God never ever left them. He was with them through it all. And that's the same for us today. We can trust that God will be with us through whatever we go through and however we're feeling, and he will never ever let us down. If you're fed up with sitting down, how about you make yourself your own obstacle course? You can get some cushions, some soft toys, anything you can find, set it up in your living room and find a blindfold, put it on and get somebody to give you instructions around the obstacle course. While you're doing it, think again about how Abraham felt when he set off on his journey. He didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God through it all.
So, as we draw a close to this service, thanks again for being with us. Thanks for connecting with us as well. We may be in our separate homes, but we are all connected by the Holy Spirit. We're part of God's family, and it's wonderful that we can come and join together at this time. Let me close the service by praying for us and leaving us with a blessing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you again that you are with us. Thank you that you presence yourself with each and every one of us through your Spirit, Lord. And I just simply pray that for the rest of this day and in this coming week, whatever comes before us, whatever opportunities open up to us, may we trust in you. May we be bold enough to go with you. And may we be encouraged on that journey of faith, whether it's at the start, at the middle, or whether or not it's been a long journey of faith. Lord, may we just know your presence with us. And Father, I pray that you would just provide those opportunities for us to see you in a new way, that you would reveal yourself in a fresh and vibrant way, that you would open doors, that we would see the new opportunities to serve you and to show your love and compassion and to share the hope that we have with others around us. So Lord, thank you for our time together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and as we leave this place and in this coming week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.